Hi everyone, it's Dr. Denise. This is the Creative Minds series of the Dr. Denise Show, and I am honored to have Todd Cochran back. Todd, how are you?
Doing great. Look forward to having a chat again.
I am too. And you know, I was looking. So, you know, Todd is the CEO of the Blueberry Podcasting site, everything. There's so much that you're doing, but I was thinking after our last show, I went to look, we recorded end of winter, and so much has happened in the world for all of us. I don't know if you're, when you're going to do a show or when you're talking to friends and family, how has that influenced you and maybe even the content you're doing on your podcast?
Well, I think what we're seeing is, you know, from a company standpoint and from a personal standpoint, people are just kind of like finally getting back to living life, you know, and I think that's exciting. People are going on vacations and, you know, having to do the things that they weren't able to do for a long time. So I think from that aspect, it's good. I also realize that, you know, people are still, you know, catching the, you know, the dreaded COVID from time to time, but it looks like, you know, with most people are vaxxed, they're doing real well with those incidents. But I think ultimately what we're seeing is that, you know, life is starting to get in the way of content creation. So a lot of folks that started two or three shows, maybe they're back to doing one. Space is kind of getting back into its normal battle rhythm that we've seen really over the 17 plus years podcasting has been around.
Yeah. So I have to tell you, when I interviewed you last time, I was so inspired by your ability to listen to your own inner voice and kind of be the founder of this platform. Can you give everyone a real short, like kind of your aha moments that led to kind of where you are now? Cause I'll put the link in for the other show. I think it's really important because it's so inspiring.
Well, I think really what it was is, you know, if we go back, you know, way, way back to when I really started a podcast, was I'd really been involved online really in multiple ways up to that point. And it, you know, they're going back to the days when we were dialing into a bulletin board with a modem. And so I always wanted to stay connected to some sort of community, and the World Wide Web kind of made things kind of crazy. It wasn't like we had this true community anymore. It was a whole bunch of anonymous people that were coming to the website. Or so the podcast really gave me the opportunity to have a direct relationship with those that were listening to my content, and then ultimately led to some, you know, some deals, an advertising deal, a book deal. And then from there, a business was born, an idea was born on how to help other content creators. At the time, it was really to help content creators to make money, because really to do this in the very, very early days, it was crazy how much it cost to do a show. I think I was spending as much as $600 or $700 a month in, you know, in 2004 dollars. And it's still a significant number, but now we've got to the point where people can almost do a podcast for free. So it has gotten to the point where things have changed dramatically. But really, the first shot at, you know, what we did was as a company was really to start putting money in podcasters' pockets.
Wow, that's interesting, because you did a real personal share in the first interview that you maybe tell the journey of having all your listeners and then the first time you did advertising. Because I think maybe I'll just speak for myself. When I have, you know, the intention of doing content, I have right now, I've had a lot of approach from advertisers, but I think the synchronicity and the vibrational energy of who you would either have as an advertiser or associate your name with and make sure it's in brand alignment. I feel like for me as a doctor and the content I'm doing, you know, I think a lot of people, it's a big leap of faith. when you start doing any advertising, because when you're doing the show for yourself and for your audience, and then people like email you, oh my God, that was a great show. And you know, you're putting out content, but then I think you had kind of a story that your listeners kind of had some feelings when you first started the advertising. So can you maybe kind of take us through that journey and maybe what you've seen other podcasters experience, that kind of leap of faith when you're kind of taking it next level for getting the word out and possibly monetizing?
Yeah, you know, it's really one of those decisions you have to make internally. And I think that every podcast has its own goals. So I think it's important to understand very, very clearly what that goal is. Is the goal to reach people and tell a story? Is it to reach them and do a business funnel? Is it the ability to, you know, really, there's probably 100 different reasons people do podcast. Sometimes it's just to get together a friend and chat. So it really depends on the goal. Now, if your goal is to grow a show, build an audience, and monetize, you know, there's many, many, many ways you can monetize. Advertising is just one. Value for value is another, where people, you know, buy a cup of coffee or donate a certain amount of money, what they feel the content was worth. But for me, those models at the time really did not exist at all. There was a donation model, but it was a time when everyone was really fully expecting the content to be free and did not really care that much about the creators paying bills. So for my situation, yeah.
Well, and also I want to just acknowledge for everyone that's out there doing a podcast or who might be doing one, I know when you are on the very first show, for me, it's been a labor of love. Mm-hmm. And I can say that my intentionality, it has been serving its purpose, because I've met incredible souls like yourself. And also I've had other opportunities outside of the podcast world that have come to me that I'm vetting. So, you know, it's like social, it's purpose, it's a lot, but it's an opportunity cost. So mm-hmm. I think the time that you spend not only recording the show, but the follow through, the excitement, the everything, that's an opportunity cost. So I think people really need to ask themselves even before they do that. I feel like when you're doing it, this is my perception. And by the way, everyone, you all have your own unique perception. You have to go into it, I think, with passion and purpose, and make sure you start out going, okay, I want to have fun and I want to do content. And then, you know, you might have the business model, but I think if you're coming across with great content and passion and purpose, it's kind of almost like intuitively things just evolve.
Yeah. And that's what actually happened with my show too, was someone reached out and said, hey, we want to advertise your show. And that, you know, I told that story before, it was GoDaddy. And really what, for me, the big part of it was I had to put some pennies in my pocket in order to, you know, to basically pay the bills. And so it did not impact family and so forth. Now, podcasts are always going to consume time, just like anything else. I think probably the biggest investment people have in their shows is the time in prepping. And again, like you said, the production and the reach out afterwards, the social promotion. So sometimes money today is the minor investment that you make in a show. It's more time. But at the same point, I think we're reaching a point where content creators are becoming more aware of how valuable their content is and are hoping to be recognized by their audience, and either through a support of a sponsor or through a donation, that they appreciate the content you're putting out. And that way it, you know, I always look at it from one perspective. You know, what motivates you to do the show? Is it, again, the goal is big, but is listener feedback? Is it a contribution? Is it, you know, whatever, is it a story someone got or how it changed somebody's life? You know, what are you looking, what's the value you want back? For me, it became a pure economics thing. And I love my audience, don't get me wrong, but I had to pay the bills. And you know,
I'm smiling though, because I remember in the last show you said you kind of got a little heat under you. I mean, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Didn't your wife say, wasn't there kind of like a very lineage, there was a boom, Todd, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Like, didn't she come to you and say?
Yeah, you got 2 years to figure this out, or you know, this experiment has to end. So I was on the clock. Now
I just pictured like a boom boom, the chopping block. So
you know, I got the waving finger pointed at me.
Oh no! Oh no!
You know, and when that happens, you know, you're like, okay, it's one of those yes dear situations. So
by the way, I just love it because I just think about energy and like different emotions that motivate us to get stuff done. So I think it's really important. It's interesting, different things that motivate us.
Yeah.
But I think it helps. And I actually do. I love this. So we're talking about the power of the podcast was really, really deep dive in the first show. But we're talking right now of having clear vision, being strategic, looking at what you're wanting to accomplish. And also, I think when you sometimes are just doing what you love, that's when the opportunities come, and that's what happened to you. So you had a bit of the pressure of the 2 years or that, but then do you feel like there was almost like a synergy all at once where things just really kind of grew?
I think it just, things kind of fell into place. And what was interesting is one didn't drive the other. For example, the book deal did not drive the idea to do the network, because I did a network in the early days. And then the network did not drive the advertising, and or the book deal didn't drive the advertising, because some of that wasn't public yet when it came to me. So it was really one of those things that happened. One didn't drive the other. It probably influenced and changed my attitude, the way I was presenting things, but I definitely considered myself, it's one of those deals where it's like you go right or you go left, you know, and you make that decision. And luckily, I made the right crossroad decision. And you know, there was always challenges in building a business where you say, oh, that was a bad idea. Let's back up. And or you throw a spitball at the wall and it falls off and doesn't stick. And so you have to be willing to change when things are not working. I think a lot of podcasters too maybe get down in a hole and they've got this set idea of, you know, this is the vision of the show. And then little by little, in the back of their brain says, I want this to morph a little bit, but am I going to upset the current audience if I do? I think in the end, the key is to make yourself happy and do what you need to do to keep creating content.
You know, I'm going to tag off that, then go back to sort of the podcast basics and take it to brand optimization. So my tag off that, I had been approached in 2017 to do some television in 2016, but I was working out at the gym and I was looking at the milieu environment of the media and deciding, making the decision, do I go straight into like the bigger media world right away? Or do I, almost like when you start a restaurant and you're the hostess, you're the busboy, you're the, mm-hmm. you're the person, there's all these different steps. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to have like the integrity of really being passionate about all the different dimensions of what the Dr. Denise show is, but also my being true to myself. I felt if I got into the television world too soon, someone could maybe take the, like my MD or kind of use it for a sexiness factor. And maybe my own voice could get diluted if I was just thrown into some show and then branded a certain way. So I kind of had this, some opportunities, but then I decided to almost like really enjoy the process and build a team of different people, different audiences, different series within the Dr. Denise show to then almost fine tune it at a later time now, 2022 and 2023. And now the landscape of media has changed so much. So I think I just wanted to share that with you, Todd, because I've actually said no to quite a few opportunities, and a really big one even just last week. Because I've been, as an MD, I'm planning on staying practicing medicine, and I'm being very careful of how I put content out. And I know that everyone, I just wanted people to hear that story, because you're going to have your own story. You're going to have your own reason when you start your show, your own professional life. And I'm really bridging my MD knowledge into my podcast, and I'm board certified and I have patients listening. And I'm not, you know, so I just wanted to let everyone remember you're all wearing a different hat in the why of doing the show.
And also, you maybe just were not ready. And television's a big step, you know, that's almost a one shot make or break.
Thank you for saying that.
And podcasting allows you to experiment. And the word I like to use is it takes time to find your voice.
Yes.
And be honest with you, I'm still finding my voice, but I think that most content creators really do not get totally comfortable unless they've had background experience in this. But if you're coming into this new, brand new, you know, it may take you 50 episodes before you truly find your voice and you're a little more comfortable in interviewing people and listening more than talking when it comes to, you know, it's really this dynamic in podcasting that people don't realize. It just takes a little while to get up to speed. And I think oftentimes people don't visualize their audience either. And that can be a negative if they don't. You have to visualize those folks that are really listening to you, because then you have a little more respect for their time and at the same time have respect for what you're putting in front of them. Make sure it's as valuable as you possibly can make it.
So Todd, I really appreciate those observations. And I'm wondering what it's like if someone, I was on vacation and someone said to me, Denise, I go, you would be an incredible, your voice, your vision. Can you just let people know what, if they're just starting to think about doing a podcast, what are the steps they could take to contact Blueberry or, you know, what, cause I think sometimes people get overwhelmed, like sensory overload. Like, how do I do this?
Yeah. I think the most important thing, it really is the steps you take before you reach out to us. It's really what is your vision of what you want to talk about? And do you have passion for that? You know, do not, and for any reason, do, you know, there's a lot of people now that are kind of like looking, what's the hottest thing? What can I talk about? No. I think you have to be passionate in a topic in order to come across as genuine. And then when you've decided what you want to talk about, then really it's an idea of how is this going to look like from a format standpoint. And once you've kind of got that figured out, and this isn't that complicated, this is maybe 2-3 days worth of work, sitting down and just putting pen to paper, pen to your, you know, to a Google Doc or something. And then you say, okay, what are the steps to get started? Because I think it's really important to really kind of lock in that idea of what you want to do, and maybe do a little research about who else is doing similar content. Maybe do some research, see if there's a domain name out there that fits. And that's going to drive really your getting started process once you're ready to come to blueberry.com without the E's. And because we couldn't afford the E's. And when you come to
that's
our...
so fun. That's great. blueberry.com without the E's, everyone.
Yeah. And when you come there and you're hitting that getting started, and the first question we're going to ask you is, you know, what's going to be the name of your show? So some of that has to be kind of figured out beforehand. And then if you've already done that pre-planning, then you're ready to get going. And then my support team can help you get set up. Now, we don't help you with the recording unless you work with our production team. But I think that the key here really is, have an idea what you're going to do before you're ready to get started.
Oh my goodness. It's really funny because last night I was at the pool with my son and he's 13. He's like, Mom, don't squash my creativity. Let's go record a show. So I don't know if you know this, Todd. Oh my goodness. So my son, right before he hit 13, he's like, Mom, I want to do some shows with you. And he's very charismatic. And I thought, how sweet, you know? And I thought, you know what, Todd, you can't ever, as a mother, when a teen's like wants to do something with you. Mm-hmm. So then I said, you know what? I'm going to do these little short shows, less than 7 minutes within the doctrine. He's called My Son, My Teacher. Mm-hmm. And what you just said about organization, he goes, now, Mom, I'm really good at video editing. I think we should have fun this weekend. We should write our plan, write our ideas. Mom, I have so much creativity going through my mind right now. So I just think that kind of excitement, when I just hear what you're saying, I feel like I just witnessed that last night. And it was about something else he wants to do for fun, like some fun video reels that are funny about our dynamic.
Sure.
But he was passionate and he had vision. And so I think that's really important. I just think because of the playful spirit, I think it's even better. I mean, weren't you having fun when you first launched? Were you having a lot of joy or still having joy in doing it?
I've always told my audience that for my podcast, I've told my audience, when this is not fun anymore, I'm done. Right. When if I'm not having fun and enjoying doing the content and putting it out, there are times that's, you know, I've got 1600 plus episodes. There are times it can feel like a chore, but I also remember I go back to the audience and what they have given to me and hope and feedback. And I say, listen, this is you at a certain point, there is a little bit of expectation, but I've also told the audience, if I'm not feeling it, if I'm had a rough day and I'm just like, you know, Todd the grumpy guy, I'm going to cancel. I'm not going to do an episode. In the early days when you're starting a show, I don't think you're given that much leniency. I think you have to produce on a regular basis. But having done the show now 17 years, approaching 18 in October, I do afford myself some leeway and basically making sure my mental state is the best to give them the best. And we all have up and down days. And when you're having a down day, it's maybe it's not the day to pull up the mic, but at the same time, it's still fun to me. And getting the feedback, or I got something cool out of that, or you helped me. And again, I'm doing three different shows a week. So keeping that energy at the level it needs to be is critical. Because the audience will, you know, and I apologize. Sometimes if I don't come across clear, I said, hey, sorry, gang, I'm running a little rough. It's a two Red Bull night, you know, those types of comments. And I don't drink two Red Bulls, by the way, but it's just
fun. It's just like a fun thing to say.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that's the key. Gosh. It's the key to keep going. And, I think
I can't even believe you just brought that up. This is why. So last night I had a really busy patient day and my son wanted to record. I go, but Kieran, I like to do shows when my energy's right. I'm kind of in an annoyed mood. Mm-hmm. He's like, Mom, you know how much fun I am. I'm like, okay. And he kept going, Mom, Mom, Mom. I don't know if you have kids, but it was a mom moment. And I'm going to probably end up launching this show right before I launch this one of yours and I's, because we did a really fun, fast episode called Shake It Off. And we literally spoke about how I was kind of in a crabby mood and that I didn't really energetically want to show up. And then he said, but I'm making you laugh now. I go, yeah, but do you hear the tone of my voice? It's not that peppy. And he's like, well, what's peppy? So we did a really short show about that. And then Todd, I had last May was Mental Health Awareness Month, and I just got in the zone. I don't know if this has happened. I think your shows are more on schedule. I want to make sure we list your shows. But I just got in the zone where all these people were contacting me that were so inspiring, like someone that was giving a tribute to a dear friend that, you know, passed away from suicide, and then someone else is doing a TV series. And I just had a lot of energy. And I'm like, Denise, just do the shows that come in and have a blast, right? Mm-hmm. So I must have done like 20 shows in May.
Wow.
Yeah. Or even, yeah, some short, some long. And then I thought, go on vacation, which I did. Then I got the C word, COVID. And I thought it's okay to do a pause. So what you just said, I just did a Shake It Off episode last night for fun with my son. And I took a 21 day pause. I think I was a little bit numbed by the Roe versus Wade. I had done like a really positive, hey, it's summer, June 21st. Sure. and then I was like, wah, wah, wah. And I wanted to be like authentic and just give myself the space. So I agree with you. I don't think I would have taken that much time off, but I produced so much content this year already. I think it was a break that needed to happen to get fresh. And I wanted to take a pause and reach out to people. I did a mid-year review on people that I feel like are doing amazing things in the world. I used this like last 2 weeks to call people and say, how are you? So does this resonate with some of the processes you have when you're taking a little bit of a break or getting like re-motivated?
Yeah. And you know, it's one of those things too, where I live podcasting 24/7, you know, it's really my soul. And you know, it's because I run a business during the day. I do a couple of shows during the week. I do two evening shows. So it's like podcasting is my thing. So sometimes it just kind of, oh my God, I need a break. And so I try very, very, very hard to really unplug on the weekends. I used to work straight through the weekends. And if I hadn't stopped, I may not still be in the space because I wouldn't have survived just living this 7 days a week. So now it's I try to keep the business piece 9 to 5 as best I can, and then do the shows primarily during business hours, except for my personal show, which I do outside. And that seems to have created a good medium, because, you know, I have to give attention to the company during the day and make sure we're growing, building business and releasing new products and all that stuff that really doesn't stop. And I kind of laugh because the business almost feels like a 17-year startup. And because we're small, we're not a huge conglomerate company. You know, there's 20 of us total, when that's including interns, when we have interns running. So a lot of us wear a lot of hats. We're pretty busy.
I just want to, I'm just hearing all that, and here's what I got. So number one, you have learned through experience the power of the break, that that weekend time gives you a chance to freshen up, like all of us in any career we're at, maybe have new entrepreneur ideas, more creative ideas. I find when I take those pauses, it actually inspires me and gives me energy. And I'm really impressed, and this is a very big compliment, that your company has maintained the integrity of what I call an inner circle, in integrity, because that's one of the things I've been wanting to do. I have been doing over time is building like incubator teams where you really are in flow, you really are energetically matched. And I think when you're having what you just said about the 17-year startup, I think because of the landscape of podcasting, the landscape of media, the pulse of consciousness, what's going on in the world, it's really neat that you have a team of people. I mean, have they been, what's the longevity like with your team and how you all work together?
I've only lost 2 people in 10 years.
Oh my goodness. See, that to me gives me chills. To me, that one of the big calls to action, besides my entire brand being about talking about mental health, changing the way we think, talk, and act about mental health, I like to talk about that unique relationship, reverence, you know, really, really caring about the people you work with, the people that are in your practice, the people that are your friends. And I feel like maybe we can just do like a real gratitude for that, the people that work for Blueberry, but then also like the recent innovation. I want to make sure we cover the new thing. But do you want to comment on that, what your team's like and what it's like for you?
Well, the team is a family. You know, matter of fact, we're taking time the first week of August. We're bringing because our team is all over the country, and we're bringing the team in from as far as California to our central office in Columbus. And we're going to spend 3 really days kind of reflecting and looking at what's going on and reacquainting with each other and having some fun. And I think that, and we care about each other. You know, we had a couple of members that had been out with the C word here recently, and, you know, I make sure that they get enough time to recharge and feel better. And I also actually monitor people's vacation time. And if they haven't taken much vacation, I'm like, hey, when do you plan to take a break? Because I think it's important to get that time to recharge instead of being in the grind. You know, my position as the CEO of the company, you know, I can't afford to go out for 2 weeks, but I'll take half days when I can. And that seems to work out real well, or 2 or 3, 4, 5 days. But, you know, I always kind of have to kind of keep an eye on my email and everything else. It kind of sucks, but that's comes with the position. So, but I want, when the team members go on vacation, I want them to be out. I don't want them to have to worry about Todd sending them an email saying, hey, what's up with this? It can wait. It's nothing so pressing that we have to bring someone in on vacation to answer a question.
I love that. So I like to say recreation, recreate. And it seems like you're very protective. And I believe when people feel cared for in anything we do, I feel like they show up with more pep, more inspiration. So it's like you're getting a better version of yourself or the people that work for you or with you when we take that time off. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm really excited. I actually was almost about to like log on and try it myself yesterday, but I decided I was going to have you on the show and then try it out this weekend. Can you tell everyone about the newest media kit option that goes with the Blueberry, you know, if you are become a Blueberry podcaster?
Yeah, this is something that I envisioned some time ago, And really, it was a creation from two different things that we do and we've done for many years. Number one, we have a great statistics platform that we've actually, over the past 2 years, rebuilt. And we also allowed podcasters that use our service to collect audience surveys. Because in the podcasting space, you can see these raw numbers, how many people listen to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify. But you may know who your audience is, but you might not know everything. So we give the podcaster the ability to run a listener survey. And that survey is basically ask basic demographic, you know, your age, your male, female, non-binary, ask all the basic demographic questions. It's about 10 or 12 questions we ask. And then what we've done is we've taken that data along with data that the podcaster provides for social media, their Twitter followers, Instagram, all those types of things and those links. And we generate for them a dynamic media kit. It's like a one pager that shows how many episodes you're producing a month, what's the average number of downloads, how long you've been in the space, your telephone number, your contact, your website, your email, little graphic, a description, some of these stats again, and then your social media information, and then the demographic data of your audience. And what it's designed to do is, you know, I used to pay for these. I used to pay because I'm not a graphics guy at all. I can envision what I want it to look like, but, you know, I draw stick figures. So, so I used to hire someone to create my media kits and update them every 6 months. And it was like, that was like a $600 bill annually to have those media kits created. And a lot of people don't know where to start. So we use my dev team and my great graphics designer, Aaron, to come up with something that would dynamically rebuild itself every day with fresh data so that a content creator could share a one sheet with a potential sponsor, maybe someone that's coming on the show that wants to know about the podcast before they decide to come on. It's in a public link. They don't have to post it publicly if they don't want to. But what we have gotten the response so far really has come from more competitors like, wow, why didn't we think of that? And really what it came from was the tools we've already provided. We've been letting podcasters collect this listener survey data for, I want to say, 13 or 14 years. So a new podcaster will have to ask their audience to fill out the survey. It takes a minimum of 10 survey responses before that data will show. And that's actually a very low minimum. We like to have people have more, but 10 responses at least allows them to get some gist, a starting gist of what their demographics of their audience is. Because typically, if you have 100 people listening to your show, only 10% are going to listen or follow fill out the listener survey. But if you've got 1,000, we hope that number's 100 so that you will better be able to determine who your audience is. And that data is in our stats platform too. So we don't put everything that we collect in the media kit because we give listeners the ability to feedback, say, what do you like about the show? Would you like it longer, more episodes? Or here's a little comment for a social post. So all that's kind of tied into it. But our goal this year has been, since we've relaunched the platform and come out of a two-year rebuild, was to give podcasters actual information to help them grow their show in tangible ways, something they can look at and say, oh, I need to change this, or here's something I can tweak.
That's incredibly cool. I'm getting, when you were describing everything, I pictured holding like a camera and just hitting the flash, the old cameras, not the iPhone, mm-hmm. and a flash getting like a snapshot of demographics, multidimensional statistics. And I think probably the time to do it is maybe when, like, I think mid spring was when I was on the roll. I think getting that data, like if you've taken a vacation break, would you agree that if like an existing podcaster maybe does it after they've gotten back from their vacation? Because if, you know what I'm saying? If you've taken doing the surveys when you said you want to get more data. So if there's 1,000 listeners, you get 100. So if there's been a bit of a break, it might be nice to do that media kit when you're in like your zone, which would have been maybe like March, April. Would you agree with that? So did you get more data?
Well, the media kit, again, once it's created, updates every 24 hours on its own. Oh. So that flash bulb flashes every 24 hours. But from a listener survey standpoint, that's an undertaking. That's where you maybe it'll take a month. or three or four episodes and tell your audience, hey, please, please, you know, go over and fill out the survey. And that way you'll get a snapshot of time within the platform. You can set a date range to say, okay, I want to see the survey results from May 1st to July 31st. And you can look at the responses during that period, or you can look at the overall data. And version two of the media kit will actually let you set a date range for the media, for the demographic data that you want displayed. Because if, let's say like me, I've got a show that's got survey results for many, many years, and I don't really want that collective data showing up in the media kit because audiences changed so much really over the past 16 years. So we want to do a snapshot, and we'll have that in version two. But most of our content creators that are doing this have never run a survey. Some have. So, so a lot of folks are now rushing to have their audience do these surveys so they can have a complete media kit.
Nice. So that's fantastic. And so can you let everyone know the different shows that you're doing? Because I know you've been so passionate, like with the different shows you're doing and how long you've been doing them.
Yeah. So Geek News Central is the original show. That's the Genesis show that started in October 2004, 1600 plus episodes at geeknewscentral.com.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. And then I've been, then I've done the new media show with a competitor, Rob Greenlee from over at Libsyn. And him and I have been doing that show 10 plus years. That's at 500 plus episodes. So newmediashow.com. That's where I say, if you listen long enough, you'll get a PhD in podcasting. You don't have to, there's no PhD by any university, but you can get one from the New Media Show.
Nice. And, that's great. And, I love that.
And no certificate, though. And then the third show is Podcast Insider. It's the show that we do for Blueberry, where we talk about what's going on in the space, what's happening at Blueberry, what's upcoming, give some tips and tricks and question of the day. And, really, it's supposed to help. What the design is to get you informed and give you some ideas on how to grow your show and maybe answer a question you already had in the back of your head, but hadn't asked yet.
Well, fantastic.
So, yeah.
Todd, you and I had an off show talk about the power of the individual voice. We covered mm-hmm. that here today, but I also feel like for anyone, you know, thinking about a podcast or anything, I feel it offers, I just want to end on like, it's really hopeful when you have a say, when you have a vision. I think we're living in a time in humanity where there's been so much trauma with the war in Ukraine, with the pandemic, with a lot of division within our country. I'm finding that so many people are either wanting to start podcasts or doing them, or they get almost like relieved when they have their guest on. There's a sense of connection and hope. Does that resonate with you?
It does. And, you know, the thing for a period of time, people were like, well, I'll just have my podcast just kind of promoted on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram. And that's where I'll connect with my community. But I think podcasters are starting to realize that a great number of them are like, I need something that is mine, something that I own, that someone else can't control. And podcasting is the perfect vehicle for that. And especially, you know, you have to pay your web hosting bill and your podcast bill. We provide everything you need to get started. But the main point is never build your castle on rented land. Never have your podcast somewhere where someone could say, we don't like you, go away. You have to have that in a place where you control. And that way, what's happening in the world allows you to say what you want to say and how you want to say it without any worries of basically being silenced or taken offline. And again, 99.9% of people will never run into this type of an issue, but there are still forces out there that cause shows on the far right and far left to have challenges, from a basically being heard standpoint. So as long as you own your brand and own your.com, and basically you cannot be silenced in podcasting.
I love that. By the way, you're actually making me smile because I turned down an opportunity last week that I'm not going to talk about where it would be giving away my power. It would be giving away my voice. It would be not protecting my own intellectual property. It was one of those opportunities that comes to you where it looks super sexy, but then you walk away with a gut feeling. And everything you just said about that integrity of your own voice and being the one, I mean, it's like you're comforting me. It's like I had no idea you were going to say all this.
You know, you want, we don't, we want the ability for people to listen to this content anywhere they want. That's right. The key. But the main thing is, I want them to know when I tell my audience, come back to the website. This is the origin. This is the origin point of the podcast. So if anything, God forbid, ever happens where I'm deplatformed somewhere, my audience knows where to come back to find me and my content. Not to say that it's ever going to happen, but it's just one of those things where you're reassured that you control everything that you're putting out. And podcasting is the last bastion of free speech. You almost cannot be silenced in the podcasting space. And there's some people out there that are putting some stuff out that, you know, probably the majority of us don't ever want to hear. But the main thing is that they at least have the ability to do that. And here in the United States, you know, freedom of speech goes a long ways. Sometimes it's stuff we don't want to be participate in, but at least people have the ability to have their word heard. It's not lack of consequence, but at least you can put out what you want.
Todd, thank you so much for our time today. I really appreciate you, your vision, your continued vision, your creativity and your humility. And I hope you and your team have an incredible retreat. And can you let everyone know all the places they can find you?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter at Geek News. So it's my old going back to run home to mama for my tech show. Todd@blueberry.com is my email address. I'm on Facebook as well as Todd Cochran. Look me up. Follow me over there. And if you're a Blueberry podcaster and you need to get started, I always offer free time to talk with me and help you get your show off the ground or provide consulting. But again, that's included with your Blueberry podcast hosting account. So really, that's the best way. Todd@blueberry.com or on Twitter and Facebook.
Great. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Todd. Have a wonderful summer.
Thank you so much.